If you run a business large or small, get ready to take a lot of notes. Because it's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
Thank you, and you're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Well, we have a great show in store for you tonight, and we're going to get to our guests in a moment. But first, a little bit about the show. Again, this Mind Your Business program is about how to get ahead in today's business world. It's about real ideas, real people, real businesses, real success stories on Real Radio 77 WABC. This show, Mind Your Business, is about you. It's about how you can get ahead in today's business world. We're going to have high-profile guests, and wait till you hear tonight's interview. And we're going to ask the questions that are in your mind, and the takeaways will be of the type that you'll be able to apply in your business setting, in a small business setting, in a major company. All the tips and techniques that we discuss on this program are applicable for anyone in today's business world. I also want to give some quick shout-outs to my producer, Pesach Trapper, the engineer, George Flowers. Thank you, George. Of course, to our guest last week, Josh Moore, the general manager of Uber. That was a great interview. Got great feedback. And I also want to give a very special thank you to the, I would even say hundreds, that have responded to me, that have given thank yous and have shown appreciation, and also have given helpful techniques on how they would like to hear this program in order to make it even better. Now, for tonight's guests, it's none other than Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud of the November team. Their incredible perspective, as you'll hear during this interview, will give our listeners besides a great treat, wait till you hear it, but great insights and knowledge on how to get ahead in today's business world. Okay, Bill, Jessica, are you on the line?
We're here. Thank you for having us.
Okay, yes, Bill.
Thank you for having us.
Please, it's an honor and a treat.
I've got to say, we heard the show last week. It was terrific. I think it's great what you're doing. There's so many entrepreneurs in the metropolitan region that are just up and running. They're one or two people shops, and all these little bits of information you're giving them are gold. So I think it's great that you're doing this.
Thank you so much. Where do we begin? By having such stars on the line. I mean, we do have some questions here. We hope we're not going to throw you any tough curveballs here. But we know that whatever you'll share will be great takeaways for our audience. Okay. First, perhaps, before we get into meat and potatoes, can you give us, and I guess this question is more for Bill, give us a quick description on the November team, what exactly your firm does.
The November team is a political and corporate communications firm, which means that we find ways to move people either in the political field or the government field or in the business world forward through various communications channels. And what does that mean? It means through newspaper articles, through TV shows, getting TV coverage, making speeches, using social media, doing radio ads, doing television. All the different mediums of communications have kind of blended together into one field, which we call strategic communications. But it's really it's finding ways to use the news, to use language, to use all the available tools to move your move your business forward, to make your purposes a reality.
Mm. Now, I'm sure you get this question a lot, and you touched on this in your response there. How would you advise or people frequently confuse advertising and marketing with public relations. Can you explain the difference?
Yeah, they're blending more and more. Like traditionally, public relations was it used to be called free media, and then because it's done by or performed by spinmeisters, it became earned media, so they could charge more.
You're not supposed to say that.
You had free media and you had paid media, and free media was getting yourself in the newspaper, mm-hmm. getting yourself on the radio, like a show like this, or getting yourself on television, and the world would get to see you, and you wouldn't have to buy that time. Advertising was buying television commercials or radio time or print ads in the newspapers. Now what we have because of social media and the way the world has blended so much is you have a blend in the communications field where you have kind of marketing, public relations, and traditional paid media, often working together. And people in each of those shops do a little bit of all because it's just the way that it's going.
And I think, Bill, you just touched on a really important point of how it is blending together today and how that really is the right approach to getting your message to your largest audience, and both your audience currently and your aspirational audience. But I think traditionally, you know, studies have shown that people trust what they read in the newspaper more than they necessarily trust a 30-second advertisement that they watch on TV. But if you have a really comprehensive approach to your message where you're doing everything, then you're reaching a much larger audience.
Right, which is interesting because we found, and so many studies have shown, that when there's that multi-channel approach, the effectiveness is multiplied much larger than if a client just goes with one particular approach.
That's exactly right, Yitzhak. And you'll see, for example, in political campaigns, or if they're good campaigns, when you get a piece of mail from an elected official or from a candidate, you'll get a phone call at the same time, or you'll see a television ad at the same time, and each of the or maybe a web ad. All those things are meant to reinforce one another, and the sum is greater than the piece of than the parts, and that's the whole idea with multi-channel communications. Is that right. You hit people from all different sides with the identical message, and it seeps in a little bit better.
And it's so interesting how you point that out with the identical message. We've all had different types of experiences where a client might say, well, I'm going to go with one message on radio. I'm going to maybe tweak it for mail. I'm going to then tweak. And then, they don't realize they're just confusing the reader.
It's a huge mistake.
Yeah, people are busy. I mean, this is the New York media market. Right. I mean, we're all getting bombarded with messages 24 hours a day. And, you have to be, clean in what you're saying, be clear in what you're saying, always clear, never be boring, always be relevant. Know what you're going to say it again, and then maybe one more time. But, people don't have time to figure out what your message is. It needs to be apparent on the first shot, always.
The old way of thinking was that, you need to hear the same message 8 times before a person's brain can absorb what you're saying. But that was that's kind of even an old school way of thinking, because now we are in such an information overload that you have to really have a message that breaks through that and sticks in someone's brain. So I don't know if anyone's analyzed it today, but you have to constantly repeat in order to break through all that noise.
And, one great tip, and Jess is exactly right, we work with some very good social scientists to see what makes things stick in people's brains because of this phenomenon. And we've done very extensive focus groups with people who actually test warming sensors in the brain for what works and what gets remembered. Humor, be funny. Be punchy, be funny. Humor is like brain glue. It's ideas that come with humor stick in your mind. So maybe something that a small business wants to consider is do something with a little smile. Put something out there with a wink. Something that kind of breaks through and catches the imagination a little bit. That's what the brain remembers, because it warms a part of the brain. It gives it a little boost of dopamine or whatever that pleasure sensor is, and people remember it. The rest of the stuff is just pouring down like water in a stream. You've got to give them the shiny lure they can bite on. So humor is something people should consider.
You know what's great is, again, a special thank you to Pesach Trapper, the producer of the show. He said right away, he says, we have to get Bill and Jessica on this program. He said, because they're going to share tips that any business owner out there can apply, not necessarily a business owner, anyone out there who wants to get ahead in the business world can apply these tips. And, of course, so far, this has been off the charts. Thank you. And also, in case anyone's tuning in at the moment, we have as our guest today Bill O'Reilly. Yes, the Bill O'Reilly. We're going to get to that soon from the New York Observer article. And Jessica Proud of the November team joining us here on 77 WABC, the Mind Your Business program. Now, before I get to the next question, I do want to read a testimonial that was given by Bob Turner to Bill and Jessica for their work in the Bob Turner race. And you'll see why I open with this before the next question. Here's what Congressman Bob Turner. In my upset win for Congress, many factors played a critical part. None was more important than the steady and consistent policy and press relations managed by Bill O'Reilly and his team. He crafted an image and a PR campaign that kept our opponent constantly on the defensive and allowed me to define the issues on our terms. All this was accomplished with honesty and dignity, and he ends, and we had a good time doing it. So, with that,
I think that was the most important thing, is we had a good time. And Jess later worked with the congressman. They had a great time, too.
and that's what I want to get to. I mean, a question here is, how's that possible? In a rough and tumble political race, how could you also have a good time doing it? How's that? I mean, you got the candidate, and that was some race. I mean, anyone involved with the campaign knew the odds were against us. That's, you know, I don't know if it was 10 to 1 or 4 to 1, but they were against us. And how'd you have a good time doing it? How could you get the actual elected official to make such a statement? You obviously proved yourself with that.
You know what? It's part of the show. It's part of the game. I mean, Jess and I, and Jess will attest, we go into back rooms and we laugh our heads off, thinking of some of the stupidest ideas that anyone's ever heard of, and you work through them and you throw things out that are way out of the box that are absolutely crazy, and you bring the candidate in. The candidate tells you you're nuts. And then you hash it out and something good comes of it. Like, you have to be free thinking. And if you go in stiff into any kind of communications campaign, whether it be political or corporate or small business, you've got to let all the pistons fire in your head. You got to let those synapses pop. And the best way to do that is to have fun. You know, people are brilliant. Like, everybody's brilliant. We all have great brains, but you got to let them go. And when you're laughing about things and you feel free to throw out crazy ideas, that's where you get someplace. When you're too stiff and try not to make mistakes, you're boring. And nobody wants to be boring in communications. It doesn't get anywhere.
And absolutely right. And a testament to Bob is that he, having been such a successful businessman himself, really got that and allowed the people around him to do their jobs to the best of their ability. And it really is an art. It's a creative process. It's a lot of it is human psychology, you know, as Bill was saying earlier, about what makes things stick in people's brains. So it is a creative process, and you have to have fun doing it. Otherwise, what's the point, right?
I mean,
Jess makes a great point, because Congressman Turner, I remember the first week we were hired, we went to do something, and he said, "Why are you telling me? I hired you. Go do it." Like, you have to trust the expertise of people in different fields. If you hire a marketing expert such as yourself or your firm, or you do advertising as well, trust their instincts. Like, there's a reason you're hiring them. They know better because they do this every day. This is their entire life is that field. And a lot of clients, as you mentioned earlier in the show, will think that they know the business better, but, you know, they really haven't spent the time or gone through all the trials and errors that another firm has. So Turner was able to say, you know, I hired you for a reason. Go do it. If you screw up, I'll fire you. You know, with a big laugh, and we went forward.
Amazing, and you're right. It's a big credit to a client that they're that. It's not open-minded, that they're mature enough. I think that's probably the right word. They're mature.
That's the right word.
Yeah, to realize that, like you said, you hire professionals, run with their advice, run with their strategy, etc. But it's fascinating how flexible and creative are so critical, even when the bullets are flying during a campaign.
Yeah, and that's where the best opportunities are, where the bullets are flying. You know, the best way to get publicity, especially on the earned side, is to work with the news cycle. And the news cycle changes now by the minute, virtually. Where it used to be, you know, when I first started in this field, which wasn't that long ago, we were mailing press releases. The great breakthrough was the post-it note, because you could crop photos with it, you know, before you dropped them in the mail.
Wow.
And that was the scientific breakthrough. but now the news cycle goes literally, like I said, by the minute, and it comes with opportunities. Like, the news world is always churning, and you have to watch it. Nobody watches it closer than my partner, Jessica Proud. she is like Twitter feed. She's all over the place looking for little opportunities for clients all day long. And it could be, you know, one of a dozen clients. She's looking, like, who fits in where. And if you have the right comment at the right time, and you could drop it right into the cycle just before it hits, ideally, you're part of it and you can run with it, and you could ride with that stream. And that's really where you get the best opportunities. When things are churning, when the bullets are flying, opportunities open up. You just got to be always watching for them.
Now, it's interesting you mention that, because one of the takeaways, or one of the assessments on your firm is that you like to drive the news rather than react to it. I mean, you just really clarified that in the previous, but I mean, how important is that advantage for being out there at the outset rather than reacting to it?
Oh, I think it's critical. And it's not only what the news story is today, but I think really having the insight and the skill set and vision to see where the story is going. You know, is this a one-day story? Is this a five-day story? Is there a different angle to this story that you can inject yourself into? It's really thinking about it, you know, being two steps ahead of it. You have to be because it moves so fast. So I think if you have the ability to see where a story is going and you have the right message to interject and either change the story or plug yourself into the story, that's really where the benefits come in.
No, that's exactly right. I'll give a great example, and this is more taking advantage of a story and making it your own. This is my favorite example, and it's going to sound a little bit silly, but I just loved it.
Okay.
Years ago, the Mir space station was hurtling down to Earth. It was out there in the atmosphere, and everybody knew it was going to hit somewhere on the planet.
Right. We all remember
scientists,
it.
Yeah, scientists had not that couldn't figure out exactly where it was going to hit. Well, Taco Bell, some genius at Taco Bell, decided to float out a raft with a huge target on it. And they said if the Mir space station hits that target, they will buy everyone on the planet a free taco. So it was international news. I mean, what are the odds of it hitting them? They could do an insurance policy against it. It must have been 100 billion to one. Maybe they paid a dollar for the policy. And it was just everybody smiled. It went around the world. Taco Bell got a great hit. And suddenly the news cycle belonged to them. And that news cycle had nothing to do with Taco Bell. It was the Mir space station.
Brilliant.
But they were heads up. They were heads up. It was brilliant.
What an incredible example. We do remember that. And it's so true because everyone was, you know, kind of mesmerized and glued. And I would say, you know, the optimists in the audience, in the world actually, let's say there were 5 billion at the time, but let's say half the world said, okay, it's not going to be anywhere near me. And maybe the other half said, okay, you know, will a fallout shelter work for that?
Exactly. You know, one thing, though, that people, I think, should remember, Yitzhak, is that don't put boring stuff out. If you have your business and you think, like, every business is like, I like to see it like a crystal that you can turn in the light, and eventually you're going to see that facet that's interesting. Most of them, you know, will not be. Don't try to push stories out there that are not interesting. It's crying wolf. You're going to lose your audience. And you know, a lot of, you know, everybody gets, you know, junk emails all day long. They get emails from the same company, and a few of them are relevant to them. And after a while, you stop looking. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to put out a communication, if you're going to knock on somebody's door, you better have something relevant to say when they open it. And I think it's something really important to remember is when you turn that loudspeaker on, have something to say. Don't just put junk out, because people will block you out.
Amazing. You know, George, I'm turning to the engineer here. This is amazing. You know, people should have to pay to listen to this. I mean, you know, Bill and Jessica, it's true. They're sharing incredible advice. This is incredible. So, again, thank you, Pesach. And in case anyone, just a quick station break here. You're tuned to Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. You can connect with me on LinkedIn by Yitzhak Saftless. Probably any way you spell it on Google will wind up coming to me. I think I'm the only Yitzhak Saftless in America. So you'll find me Twitter. You'll find me Facebook. In fact, lots of people, of course, love looking at pictures. And we're going to get to that in a moment. And that's, of course, what makes Instagram so incredible. There are pictures of some of the shots here doing some of the radio programs. This is our second week. So there are some shots there on my Facebook page. Feel free to go and take a look at it. I know last week we put it up within 24 hours, I think there was around 700 views on it. So everyone loves to look at pictures. So, okay, we have on the line none other than Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Pratt of the November team. Now, the New York Observer had a cover story after the New York 9 race with, of course, Bob Turner. And the way they wrote it, great, they wrote the other O'Reilly factor. So, Bill, I'm going to put you, when I when we discussed and you know with some close friends that guess who we're having on the show next week. Of course, everyone's stopping me these days. Okay, who is your next guest? I said it's Bill O'Reilly. Everyone stops. Bill O'Reilly. I said exactly. Yes. I got the real Bill O'Reilly. How often do you run into that?
About 25 times a day. Jessica now sees it. I've been to. I used to get his phone calls all the time when I lived in Manhattan. I meet dozens a day, and I've been to political events because we work in politics too. Right. And I've been to political events where I've gone to a table and I see people that have brought books for Bill O'Reilly to sign. So they politely stick them under their chair.
I make Bill call and get all my dinner reservations. Right?
Exactly.
Oh, man. Now, I actually want to turn back to, even though I know we talked about the photos. You know what? Let me get that one in. How important are photos during a political race or in any type of campaign? How do you see the role of photography as opposed to the written word?
Jessica, go ahead.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sorry. I meant this one for Jessica.
Sorry. That's okay. I mean, it really is something, and Bill and I talk about this all the time, about how much it's changed. I mean, we really are moving away so much from, like, a press release now is almost obsolete. Everything is visual now. And, you know, we talk a lot about it, whether or not it's necessarily a good thing. But you definitely have to target your message and change it to meet that demand out there. And Instagram is huge. Videos like the Vine, the 6-second videos now, those are really big on Twitter. And how can you condense your message in a way that captures it in either a photo or a very short video? You can't even make a long video because people don't have the attention span for that. So I think, look, I hope anyway that words will always play a critical part in how we consume information. I personally love to read my news more than I watch it or listen to it, but you know, it really depends on the person. But the millennials and the Gen Xers, everything is visual for them now. So you really, in order to reach them, you really have to cater to their desires.
Hmm. Yeah, it kind of goes back to what we were saying about the social scientists studying the brain. And it bothers me a little bit that this is the case, but it is the case. We're human beings, we're animals, we have certain things that fire in our brains. But today, you're trying to make your audience feel a certain way rather than necessarily think a certain way. They don't spend the time, because there's so much information out there, to really read through the great speech or the white paper. You're trying to hit them with a quick impression that lights them up inside and makes them feel positively towards you or your brand. And it's done. You know, they used to say a picture's worth a thousand words,
right?
And that's right. Now there's so many more opportunities to view pictures and to view video clips, like Jess said,
right,
that you have to create them. And that's where the firms are merging. I mean, I've written thousands and thousands and thousands of press releases in my life, but they're getting shorter and shorter. And the press release is now becoming the photo caption. It's becoming the little hit, the tweet, the Facebook hit. It's just everything is getting shorter and more visual. I don't love that as an American. I think we lose something in that. But it's the way the world is right now. And until we find a better way to open people's brains again, that's what seems to have to happen to succeed.
Well, yes, Jessica.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I totally agree with that. And I think we are kind of a very voyeuristic society, and especially when you're dealing with a political figure or a high-profile figure in business, people like to get that sort of look behind the curtain, a more personal approach, which is often done through photos or short videos, and it does give you a stronger emotional connection, I think, sometimes than just reading words on a paper.
And you know what's fantastic is the way you're pointing it out. That, and you mentioned earlier in the program, that you have done scientific studies, meaning everything you're saying is true and we know it, whether someone wants to admit it or not. But then it's also verified by scientific studies and analysis and focus groups, etc. So What's important is for a business owner out there, if let's say they feel differently, they can stand on their head. I mean, but at the end of the day, they have to accept advice like this from experts on, again, even though this is the type of thing, if someone's arguing, if they're arguing that it's nighttime and everyone knows it's daytime, you drown them out. But the importance of real sound advice, and when it's backed up by analysis and real research, I mean, there's obviously that's the most important effective advice.
Yeah, and also we work with a brilliant woman named Leslie Zane, who runs a company called the Center for Emotional Marketing, and she does the best focus group work in the country, I think, bar none. She does it for some very, very elite Fortune 50 corporations. And so, we rely on her expertise. It's not ours, but at least we're smart enough to know what we don't know. She does focus groups testing imagery, testing sounds, testing taste, testing everything about the human brain. She's a brilliant woman, a Yale-trained, a marketing type who has taken it to another level. And it matters. You can test. People like to see certain images with certain words, and you find the right combinations to make the brain click or open up a little bit more. So there are some smart people out there to work with.
Yeah, I mean this. This leads to, and again, and thank you for that. For that intro again. What's the name of that particular person you work with?
Oh, her name is Leslie Zane, the Center for Emotional Marketing. And I believe she has a website, centerforemotionalmarketing.com, I believe. But just super brilliant. I mean, just doing really cutting-edge work with those focus groups in a way that no one I've run across or Jess has run across does. And she's enormously well-respected. And we've worked with her on a number of different type of campaigns to get those right words, to get them massaged in the right way, get them set up the right way, for making ads the right way. If you're going to spend $1 million putting an ad into the field, it's worth spending a little bit more to make sure it's the right ad. When you get to the door, have something to say, something that's going to work. You don't want to guess what's going to work because it makes you feel good. You want to test it on people and make sure it's right.
Correct. This particular, now I'm going to move to a particular question. I'm going to start off as the question directed towards Bill and then separately towards Jessica. And you could have a good time with this one. And the question is, and this applies whether it's a political campaign or a corporate client, what was the most memorable campaign you ever worked on? Sorry to put you on the spot there.
I have to say it was Bob Turner's. I have to say it was Bob Turner's, and I've done dozens and dozens of campaigns over 30 years, but it had to be Bob Turner's because it was a very short campaign and because it got such huge attention. In the final week of the campaign, Al Jazeera was trailing us. And it was, it should have been a sleepy little congressional race in Queens and Brooklyn.
Right.
And there was nothing else going on in the world right there. It was just before Occupy Wall Street broke out. It was a news lull. We got very lucky. Political writers had nothing to write about, and suddenly it just caught fire. So I think that was mine.
Okay, Jessica?
Jess may have a different answer.
That was one for the books for sure. For myself, I think probably the mayor's race in 2013. And, even though we lost, Joe Lotto was just such a remarkable candidate to work with. And, it's something that I'll probably be telling my grandkids about someday because it was so crazy. I mean, you had so many candidates in the race. It was entirely unpredictable. You had all the Democrats on the side with Anthony Weiner. And, it was just like every day you kind of didn't know what to expect. And we had a primary, of course. So it was just the level of attention was something that I had not experienced, at that level, even though I had done statewide races before. It was just, the news cycle was just bombarded with the campaign. And a lot of it was kind of silly, irrelevant stuff. And a lot of it was, very serious issues facing the city. So for the craziness factor alone, for sure, the mayor's race.
Wow.
You're
still thinking
of the cat on the track.
Yes. I know. I was loath to bring it up.
know 2009 was a close second, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now that's,
and we,
yeah.
Honestly, I would say we have been, you know, really, really fortunate to work with such high caliber candidates. And, you know, you don't win them all, and it's very hard to win in New York on the Republican side. But we've had some really great candidates to work with. And you know, even if you might not get the vote totals you want at the end of the day, you're still advancing ideas. And if that becomes part of the debate, then I think, you know, you have been successful on some level.
Now I want to ask the question again separately to Bill and Jessica. And this is this could be in the course of a in relation to a political race, again, or a corporate communication campaign. But what was the biggest challenge that you faced and how you handled it? And, you know, kind of the challenge and the solution. First to Bill.
Oh, boy. Let's see. In a political race, I mean, in the political races, it's easier to talk about because the challenge is always, because we do Republicans.
Okay.
And which is a distinct minority in New York. The challenge is always the overwhelming odds in voter registration,
right,
and usually in finance. And the way that we do that is in the ways that we've discussed on this call, which is to try to engage the public with that wink, with that fun style, with have fun with the campaign, make it entertaining for the news reporters. Give them something to write about. They want to write about stuff that's fun. And the way you have to think is not, you have to think in New York Post headlines, not in Wall Street Journal headlines. Nothing against the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
But you're trying to get information out there quick and fast. So you got to make it fun. You got to make it things punchy. It's really the same though for corporate clients as well. You know, I'm thinking of another campaign comes to mind after the Taco Bell one, which was there was a British company that had a little square cracker, and it was a staple in the British and Canadian market. It was like a Triscuit or something, mm-hmm. that type of thing, or maybe a Wheat Thin, and their sales were falling off and had been for a long time. And so they went to a PR firm and they said, "What can you do for us?" It was a marketing PR firm,
mm-hmm.
and they said, "We have a great idea. We're now coming out with a diamond-shaped one, which is the exact same cracker. They just turned it a little bit on the thing."
Okay.
And they did the new diamond-shaped thing, and they did it being completely open about how ridiculously that concept was, and the public went mad for it. Then they started opening up then they started a box that had – it came with two types, the square and the diamond. And they just had people laughing so hard, and sure enough, the numbers went up. So, you know, when you dealt lemons, you gotta make that lemonade,
right?
And you've gotta find ways to be engaging. That's always the challenge. I mean, the biggest challenge. Sometimes you go into a race and you'll go into a campaign, and you know, certainly bad news stories,
mm-hmm.
you know, which walks into the crisis communication side, which we've done a lot of, where you have. And I won't go into details, but you'll have mm-hmm. a candidate that's gotten in trouble from the past or whatever it is. In those things, you just need to, in short, I mean, in a second, you've got to own the problem, confess it all, move through it as quickly as possible, and let the news cycle continue without you. I mean, you look at Anthony Weiner, and I don't mean to single him out or pick on him, mm-hmm. but he, someone who was very savvy in the news media, let that eat him alive. He kept it going day after day after day after day. He couldn't have made it more interesting or more salacious. It just every day he kept that story going, and it just grew and it grew and it grew and it grew. And if you look at a congressman from upstate who was caught, I think, taking his shirt off and, you know, sending it around on the internet, he resigned in a day. He owned it, took care of it, and was gone. I can't even remember his name.
Chris Lee.
So I knew I did, but I was giving him a break. Well, that's because he had a pretty good chest. Just remembers details.
Okay, and then turning to Jessica again, what would be the, you know, the biggest challenge and the solution?
Well, I think just to point to what Bill was saying, anytime you have to overcome a perception, that's always the challenge. for me personally, I think I used to work with the cities along the Gulf Coast and was working with them when the BP oil spill happened. And that was just so devastating to those communities who many of them were still trying to really recover after the hurricanes, Katrina and Rita. So that was just such a massive blow to them, to their tourism, to you know, their food supply, to their beaches. So working with them after that happened in a real crisis communications role to not only just deal with the immediate aftermath of what happened, but really charting out, you know, trying to have a long-term course of action for them. To tourism was their biggest driver of revenue. Mm-hmm. You know, their economies are dependent on it completely. And many of them, you know, were brought to their knees after the hurricanes. So working with them was really the biggest challenge. And it's been great to see, you know, how far they've come. And I haven't worked with them in a while, but for that first year after the spill, it really it has been amazing. And that's a testament to the work that they did and really just trying to deal with it head on. And that's an example of, I think, good crisis communications. Right. And, they, you know, they are doing very well now.
Wow. And we're actually going to get more on that particular subject right after. But I just want to, again, mention to our listeners that we are on with Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud of the November team. You're tuned to Mind Your Business with Yisroel Seftlis right here on WABC 77 on the AM dial. Let's move now to how would you advise businesses to go about creating their messaging? Again, you had touched on this earlier. But, you know, again, just from the experts, maybe I'll direct it at Bill and then Jess, if you could join in, Jessica, if you could chime in as well. What would, you know, just a simple suggestion how they could create their messaging?
Two things. One, I always, when I'm very, very tired and I'm sitting down in front of a keyboard and I'm trying to develop a message or say something cleanly for a client, mm-hmm. This is going to sound crazy, but I imagine someone putting a pistol to my head and saying, say it. Like, I mean, just demanding that I spit it out rather than think about it too much. So it's say it in plain language to yourself first. Say it like you'd say it to the guy in the barstool on the barstool next to you, or on the bus next to you, or on the subway. Don't worry how it sounds. Just say what you mean, and then work with that. The other thing is to hone it. Is to hone. Like take your message and work on it until it's a sentence. And we always say this to clients: if you can't do that elevator pitch in a sentence, it's not right yet, and it's not ready to go out yet. Don't go out until you're ready with it. I mean, everything should be able to be boiled down into a sentence where you're going, and it's hard. It's very, very difficult. And my advice would be to take the time to get it right. It could take you weeks or months to get it right, but get it right. There is that facet to every business that's interesting that needs to be said. And spend your time finding that. That's my advice.
Okay, and Jessica?
Well, Bill's very modest because he's actually the master at doing that. And there's been so many times where we're, you know, thinking about messaging and talking about ideas and everything, and he will succinctly say in one sentence all of the garbled ideas that I have in my head, and I'm like, yeah, that's it. You got it. So he's really great at that. But I think, you know, a big part of it, I think, is to be authentic. You can try to sell yourself as anything, but at the end of, and maybe you can put money behind it and that'll work for a little while, but I think people eventually see through it and the gig is up, and then, you know, you're going to wind up doing so much more damage control to your brand after the fact. So I think it's really important to be authentic and also to sort of think outside the box about who you're trying to talk to. You know, you may have it in your head that you have a specific audience, but it might not necessarily be the right audience that you're thinking. And, you know, is it your competitor? Is it an investor you're trying to target? Is it a new demographic? To really, I think, put some strategic thought into who that audience is that you're trying to reach, because it might not be what you initially think off the top of your head.
You know,
Jess, when Jess was talking, I was thinking when she was saying be authentic, that's exactly right. And what popped to my mind was Avis. Avis made an entire career, entire business around being number two.
Right.
Authentically, they were number two. Hertz is the number one car company in the world. But Avis said, we are proudly number two, and you know what? We try harder. And it was their whole field.
Yeah,
they were the guy that was just racing to catch to the lead. And you root for the underdog. So, yeah, be authentic. That's great advice.
Yeah. Yeah, as Pesach noted to me just now, that we really hope and we believe that the listeners are going to have great takeaways and appreciate the incredible advice that you're sharing with us, Bill and Jessica. We can't thank you enough. Just around five more minutes of your time, and again, we cannot thank you enough for your precious time.
Thank you.
I mean, this is incredible and a lot of fun, as Bob Turner would say.
Absolutely.
Some businesses, and this you touched on earlier, but I just want to put it as a specific question so it's focused in people's minds. Some businesses naturally have a more compelling story than others. Is there a way to create that perfect story, even around, and we'll say, either a candidate or a business who's kind of boring?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. If you have to do a story around a business that's so boring it can't get a story, do that story.
That's the story.
Everybody's got a story. I worked with a campaign once, and Rudy Giuliani was making a TV ad for that campaign.
Okay.
And Rudy Giuliani had done TV ads for every campaign, so we did a behind-the-scenes opportunity for what it's like to do an ad with Rudy Giuliani.
Amazing.
And we brought in all these TV crews that shot, like, the back room stuff. We were saying, okay, Rudy, smile a little more, and he played along and was great.
That is great.
Yes. Like, you could turn boring, if you're going to do a campaign for Lysol, find the new germ that it kills. No one's heard of this germ. It's like, what's that germ? Like, I need to know about that germ. There's always something. There's always something to it.
And I think you can never underestimate the human element to things. Like, your product might be a little boring, but maybe there's, maybe it's the people working at your company. Maybe there's an interesting story there. You always want to be thinking in terms of how you're reaching your strategic goals, but there's always a way. And like Bill was saying before, it's sides of a crystal, and you have to kind of turn it around and see which one catches the light. And sometimes it always takes diving in and really learning about the business and learning about the company, and that's what we do when we work with our clients.
Interview employees. Employees have amazing stories that you may not know about. Also, think historically. We worked with a flea market once that was it was a new flea market opening on the West Side, which is not normally news, but we ran some records and we researched the site that they were on, and it turned out to be the site of a flea market called Patty's Market in the 1870s. And it became huge news. New York Times covered it on a Sunday on the cover. It went all over television because it was like Patty's Market reemerges. Newspapers and the media love history.
You're brilliant.
Historic angles.
It's incredible. You're brilliant. This stuff is really funny. it really is. It's incredible how you dig down. And it's also so interesting, and it's so true. I know when we meet with clients, let's say on the nonprofit side, we meet with a school or an organization, and we realize that the particular item that will work for them best is a newsletter, an 8 or 12 page mailer. Okay. But the first thing is, say, I'm prepared to go ahead with it, but I have nothing to say. I say, wait a second. You have 300, let's say it's a school. You have 300 kids running through your building. And you run the school. And you're almost like, listen, I don't want you to ditch me as a client during this particular sentence. But like, you're telling me you don't have something to say? I mean, hello?
Hello?
Exactly. And then, of course, I get in and say, thank God I'm here. Let's start talking. That's what we do. Leave that to us, and then we'll start getting your messaging out. But like there's always a story. And like Jessica was saying, it could be an employee. It could be and the case of the flea market. I'd love that one, doing some research. I mean, that's not news, but like, hey, with the right spin, it is. So here's an important question that, of course, we hope no one ever has to deal with, but sometimes is an issue. Let's say it's an individual, an organization, a business that face what we'll call bad press. Is there a specific recommendation to either respond, ignore, or is it kind of a case-by-case basis?
I would say, you know, I would look at everything on a case-by-case basis, but 99.9% of the time, I think with crisis communications, that it is better to get out in front and get information out than it is to try to hunker down and hope that it goes away, because all it does is allow for a vacuum for other people to come in and more questions to be raised. And if you are very proactive in getting relevant facts out and try to and have a role in trying to shape them and manage them, it is, you know, more than likely that that's going to be the better approach. It's just sometimes you cringe watching, you know, like Bill was saying before.
Right.
Even with Anthony Weiner, you cringe sort of watching these companies that, you know, are withholding information. They try to, you know, wait out the news cycle. And, it does depend on the case and it depends on the story and how deep it is. But a lot of times it ends up getting bigger than you, and then you have no control over it.
Right. And Bill?
Yeah, the other thing, and that's exactly right, but history doesn't stop.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the sun comes up every morning. Mm-hmm. You get another shot at it almost always, unless you drop dead. I mean, Bill, think about Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton kept going.
Right, right.
Bill Clinton had as bad a crisis as anyone I've ever seen in my life, and Bill Clinton just kept going. The key is to keep going. If you keep moving forward in your own way, no one's going to stop you. I mean, just keep moving forward. Where you get in trouble is where you freeze. And you hang out there in the hinterlands, and you just get shot from all sides. You got to just keep going. And if you have a beating coming to you, take it.
Mm-hmm.
Take
mm-hmm.
it, accept it, move on. Learn mm-hmm. from it, move on. The news cycle is going to go on. It's going to focus on somebody else. This news cycle moves faster than any in history. It's going to get bored with you. But when it happens, when it's on you, you feel like you're the only thing on the planet. Like you're a bug on the earth, and everybody's mm-hmm. looking at you. And you can't imagine a time where that's not going to be. It's going to move on. Move on to keep doing what you do. Do it well. Do the right thing. That's the best advice that we can ever give people. If you do the right thing, you get good press. If you do the moral thing, if you're a good business person, if you treat your customer fairly, if you run your business squarely, you're going to do fine. It's don't get tricky. Be who you are. Always do the right thing, and you're not going to have a problem. And the old adage in our business is, if you don't want it to appear on the front page of the New York Times, don't do it. That's a very old adage, and that's right.
Right.
And there is such a thing as bad press.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Unfortunately.
We've had it.
This question is separately for Bill and for Jessica. Kind of just any final thoughts? I mean, this has been just such great material for our show. Any final thoughts?
My final thoughts are just, again, such kudos to you for doing this show.
Thank you.
First of all, I love the name Mind Your Business.
Thank you.
Exactly what we're talking. It's catchy. It's punchy. It says it all. It's honed. It's exactly the right name for the show, and I'm just so impressed with that. But there's so much negativity in the world going on today, and everybody's sniping at one another. And what you're doing is offering free and good advice, which comes from you, by the way, to a lot of entrepreneurs in the tri-state area that are looking to do something positive. They're looking to put food on the table for their kids. They're looking to create products that benefit other human beings. They're creating jobs for their fellow New Yorkers. I think this show is wonderful, and that's my thought, that I wish there were more like this, but they're not. So I think we're just grateful that there's a show out there, and we're very honored to have had the chance to be on it. So congratulations on the show. We are ardent listeners and are going to stay listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. And Jessica.
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. Bill nailed it. But just, you know, you talk the talk. You don't just walk the walk.
Thank you. You don't just talk the talk.
You are a small business owner yourself. You've started out. You've gone through a lot of the hurdles. Mm-hmm. And now you're sharing, you know, your wisdom and expertise and proliferating that with your guests. And I think that's just something that's really remarkable and amazing. And I would just say, as far as communications go, for any business, you know, communications is a critical part mm-hmm. to any business. And I think PR can be a very valuable tool, mm-hmm. that will help you share your message with the world. But it is something you have to sort of think strategically about and make sure that you're doing it the right way, because it can wind up just being a costly expense for your company where you're not really seeing results. And, you know, we always try to distinguish ourselves in that way amongst other companies as well.
Well, again, just in closing, thank you very, very much to Bill O'Reilly, Jessica Proud at the November team. Thank you very much for being with us on Mind Your Business tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Excellent. Take care. Well, I think the audience, Pesach, if I could have you join, what's any takeaways from the interview?
There was an abundance of takeaways, actually, and just so many great things that we all can learn. One that really sat well with me that I could relate to, and I think a lot of the small business owners can as well, is the fact that we all are walking marketing materials for our company or brand or campaign or whatever it is we're doing. Mm-hmm. And not having that one sentence about why your company is better or why you should use you over the competitor, not having that prepared and honed is a wasted opportunity. You know, not having that elevator pitch for what you do and why you do it and why you're better. Whenever you meet someone, you're asked that question, okay, what do you do? I do marketing. Now, why would I use your company? If you don't have that prepared, you know, and honed, like Bill and Jessica were saying, you have lost an opportunity.
Yeah, very, very well put. And of course, I must give a special thank you to Pesach Trapper, the producer here of Mind Your Business. We work together at the Bottom Line Marketing Group. Of course, a special shout out to the whole team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, doing great materials and allow me to be here on the radio and doing this spiel. Of course, a special thank you to Bill O'Reilly, Jessica Proud at the November team. We also wanted to mention that there is a lot of times people will ask me, who is your next guest? This is starting to become a, who are you going to have on? Well, we usually put that information up earlier in the week before Sunday night actually, if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, that information does go out on it. So on Facebook, it's Yitzchak Saftless, and of course, follow me on Twitter, Y Saftless. There is also a website for this show. That's wabcbizradio.com, wabcbizradio.com. And what will also be available is podcasts from previous shows. A lot of people have requested, they wanted to hear the Josh Moore interview of last week. That's up, and it's up on the archives of WABC Biz Radio. But again, if you want to get the information in real time when we know about our guests, many people in the audience found out that we were having Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud earlier last week, and they found that out because they followed me on Twitter or they looked on Facebook. Any other quick notes here as we wrap out this incredible program? Again, this is the Mind Your Business Show with Yitzchak Saftless here on 77 WABC. If you have any particular ideas or suggestions or questions that you'd like for us to pose to our incredible guests, post them. They're on the WABCBizRadio.com website. If you scroll down on the page, you will see a section there for questions, comments, suggestions, etc. That's something that you can also avail yourself on WABCBizRadio.com. Well, Pesach, did you get any feedback last week for the pictures that went up on Facebook?
Yeah,
in the studio.
Like they were saying, we have a tendency to like to know what goes on behind the scenes, and we like to share that. So check it out, and we'll be glad to share.
But it's amazing how many people like Bill and Jessica mentioned during the interview, the amount of people, when we put up the pictures, we put up information, text, okay, there was some traffic. But we put up pictures of us in the studio and with George Flowers running the boards here, and people wanted to see this. I mean, it went within 2 hours, it was like 194, and then it went up to, obviously, 300, 400, 500. In 24 hours, it was nearly 700, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, just, the power of the photo. Of course, in marketing, we know that, but now the power of the photo through social media is just so powerful. Really, really incredible stuff. Well, also special thank you to George Flowers behind the boards here. It's not an easy job. When you look at those pictures, you'll see, let's see, I would count, it's around 2,648 buttons back there.
Good guess.
Something like that. Was I right, George? Pretty close? Okay, thank you. And somehow he keeps an eye on all of them to make sure that we sound great and that we come to you. Well, in closing out tonight's show, the Mind Your Business program, of course, we ask you to please tune in again next week. We do not know who our guests are going to be yet, but again, you will hear about it on our on my Facebook page, on my Twitter, and of course, you could always check in on Mind Your Business. The program, which the website specifically is wabcbizradio.com. Well, until next week, thank you. This is Yitzhak Saftlis for the Mind Your Business program right here on 77 WABC.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.